It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
It is Friday and you are tuned to a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR at 855 on your AM dial, or you might be tuned in via all the W's at 3cr.org.au.
Well, however you're tuning in, you might even be listening to your favourite podcast client.
Well, that's right. And I just do want to apologise for listeners for our bit weird broadcast last week, is one way to describe it. But if you tuned in last week, or tried to at least, and just know that the unweirded version of the podcast is now up on all the podcast clients or on the Friday Rave page on 3CR. So apologies for that little slip up.
And I also want to assure our listeners that no, we weren't tripping off our scones.
No. No, we weren't. That's community radio for you. We have a pretty big show this week, and just want to give a content warning for listeners. Today we are going to be discussing the Epstein files, and so some of the content in these discussions might be triggering for some listeners. So to avoid that, if you need to, you can tune out, or keep yourself close and safe.
Yeah, although I don't know where you're going to turn on the media without hearing it.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. It has been the Epstein files and the release of, 3 million documents have been everywhere on the news, and it's kind of almost become, it's almost clickbaity.
It is. And it's, and that's one of the things I guess I want to talk about. But even before I talk about that, I just wanted to know how to say it, run listeners, I guess, through how our brains go here at a Friday Rave, because coming on to doing the usual thing of what are we going to talk about today, and I open one of my news feeds, all right, and I don't know how to put this except to read it out to you. You know, I'm going through my news feeds, and these are the headlines: Trump threatens Iran war at Board of Peace meeting. All right, U.S.
That's at the Board of Peace meeting. I missed that.
U.S. Really? Build major military base. Settlers kill Palestinian American in the West Bank. The cost of genocide. Israel's war by numbers. UN says Israel is stoking ethnic cleansing. Israel detains 37 Palestinians in raids across the West Bank. Press monitor exposes torture of Palestinian journalists. Rubio plans to update Netanyahu on US-Iran trade talks. I mean, you just, everything that goes on, you know, all the things that you, I just skip over when we're looking through the news.
And this is all in one day, whilst last week Isaac Herzog was here welcomed by the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
And welcomed by Albanese, when this is one day in the news of Israel's atrocities.
Yeah, and James, from those who listened to James, another great in-your-face show today, but as he was leaving the studio, said, what a world, hey, Iran, huh? And I said, we're not even going to have time to talk about Iran. How can this happen that this prick of a American calls something he calls the Board of Peace, and at their meeting he threatens war?
Mm.
I mean, it's getting beyond
ridiculous. Like it's beyond ridiculous, and it's so it is like a alternative world that you know that we're living in. And I think, you know, just while we're on the topic, as part of the Board of Peace, I think it'll be enshrined. The next meeting of the Board of Peace is the International Stabilization Force.
International Stabilization Force.
Yeah, and so the International Stabilization Force has been announced by Jeffries, who's part of the board, one of the executive directors of the Board of Peace that we mentioned in our show about it a couple of weeks ago. And that's going to involve 20,000 international soldiers being brought in to Gaza, and they'll be operating out of the, now what's it called? Is it the CMCC?
CMCC, Combined Military...
Command Center.
Command Center, yeah.
Yeah, and so we have mentioned that on the show before because that is in the first iterations of that command center where the International Stabilization Forces is going to be operating out of. That's going to be their base. And also that those Palantir's Maven tech is being utilized there, and that's when we talked about it on the show last time.
Yeah.
But the International Stabilization Force, and this is yet to be decided, but there's going to be 8,000 troops from Indonesia, and they're going to be second into command after the US as part of that ISF. And there is talk about an upcoming trade deal between the US and Indonesia, so it'll be interesting to see what comes out of that.
I can't work out how this happened. Indonesia does not have any friendly relations with Israel, but it's trying to do, as you say, trade deals with the United States. It says it wants to remain neutral between the United States and China. It's the largest Muslim country on earth, and it's taken part in this. Maybe we should be glad they're there. 20,000 soldiers and 12,000 police officers.
Yeah, so the 20,000 soldiers, so Indonesia, I think it's Kosovo, Kazakhstan, Morocco and Albania.
Right.
The countries who we're sending troops.
Not actually, apart from Indonesia, not actually what you'd call giants on the world stage, are they?
No. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, I mean, interesting and ghastly, I'm sure, to see what the iterations of this are going to look like. But we all know what it is, and it's ethnic cleansing.
It's ethnic cleansing. It's ethnic cleansing. And, you know, as you say, Jaspers has said that there's already a base there that they're going to be using. This is the thing that was set up, no doubt, by the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation.
That's right, and is working closely with the IOF as well.
With the IOF.
Yep.
Who are Palantir, and they're up to their necks.
Yep.
And you know, Palantir, it was interesting to see Peter Thiel's name come up.
Yeah, I mean, was it interesting? Not surprising, I think.
Not surprising, no.
Yeah.
No. And that's, look, we've got to talk about the Epstein files.
Yeah.
And I've been reading through them. Mm-hmm. I mean, not a pastime I'd recommend.
No.
Not just the more salacious parts. You know, the way they talk about meeting up for lunch, the way they talk to each other, super terrific, you know, fabulous. It's like I was watching an episode of Mad Men or, you know, one of those
hyperbolic
suits.
Kind of.
The hyperbolic New York upper class vacuous pieces of shit shows, you know, which I haven't seen much of, that's why. But look, there's been a lot spoken on the radio and television, a lot of words written about the Epstein saga, and mostly in the prurient nature, I guess, salacious. It's voyeurism, one could call it. Everyone wants to know about the nasty things they did to children. But it's not end women, you know, because it wasn't just children. And it's – I was talking on another show earlier. I'll be on Jan Bartlett's Tuesday Home Time next week. And I come up with a thing that the story's being told backwards, that it's being reported as Epstein was this somehow Uber pimp who provided the glitterati with things, with children and women. And that is one aspect of it, but it's neither new nor unique. You know, and I want to hark back to David Cameron's Piggate about, we all know what he did with a pig when he was part of, what was it called, the Bullingdon Society.
Some fraternity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oxford. The Skull and Bones that the Bushes were involved in. The Bohemian Grove, where people have been meeting for debauchery for years. It's almost become a right-wing conspiracy theory. All the way back to stories about the Knights Templar or the Freemasons getting involved in debauched, sexualized rituals. You know, back in the days, before there were strictures against sex with minors or the concept of minors, because you've got to remember, Juliet was only 13 in the famous play, all right? When that was still cool and acceptable, it was goats that were the object of their fantasies, I guess. But my main point is that while I think all the shit they did is wrong, no two ways about it, abhorrent in every way, shape and form, what was happening wasn't primarily for the purpose of sexual gratification, but for the taboo of being able to do with impunity what most people can't. And we're not just talking about sex with kids. In the Epstein files, there's hints of torture and murder, burying people on golf courses, all kinds of crazy, fucked up shit that they're involved in. And rich folks doing what they can because they can.
And also that comes with that doing whatever you want with impunity is this, like, the domination aspect of it, of, you know.
Absolutely.
On a smaller nuclear scale is, you know, the domination that we see operating in the echelons of power.
Absolutely. And let's not forget Trump-owned beauty pageants. You know, that's who this prick is. But what they do is they do all this. There's been talk, and I've heard some people on the left say they do this so that they've got something to blackmail you about. They have you with a minor and they can blackmail you and force you to do things. I don't think it's even that straightforward. I think this is about just being part of a club where in the club you got each other's backs. And that's what all clubs do. That's what all friendship groups do. Mercedes, I've got your back. You know, and I know you got mine. It's a common human trait. And it's, you know, at its best, it forms the basis of solidarity, class struggle, having each other's backs. But at its worst, this is what it looks like. Because don't be mistaken about it. The people involved in the Epstein crimes have one thing in common. They all saw themselves as a cut above the rest of it. And whether that's because of their inherited born-to-rule mentality, like the Andrew formerly known as Prince, or the nouveau riche tech heads like Peter Thiel and Bill Gates and Elon Musk, or the intellectual superiority of people like Noam Chomsky. It's like a who's who that's screwing you, you know? And just about every news article, I've got to say, and I've got to repeat it here, every news article stating their disclaimer, quote, appearing in the Epstein files does not imply any wrongdoing of the individual mentioned, unquote. But I disagree. I mean, having your name in the file doesn't imply you sexually assaulted a minor on Epstein's island or in his private jet. But in most cases, it does imply that you either are a part of or benefiting from being a part of the network of these people, often while ensuring that you keep a distance of plausible deniability between yourself and any of sexual crimes and debauchery taking place. None of the people, you know, sticking their chest out saying they had no knowledge of sex crimes is bothering to feign ignorance of the facts of Epstein's role in arms deals, in selling secrets to governments, in Ponzi schemes, in influencing people who make the decisions that kill people, because they don't even think these things are crimes. They've no problem with Epstein setting up deals for Palantir, who are right in the middle of the Australian Department of Defence.
With a new contract.
With a new contract. And the Criminal Intelligence Commission, or NTRAC, whatever they call it now. Not to mention Coles Supermarket. Mm-hmm. I was up in Coburg Hill Coles the other day, and I was offered the opportunity of joining the facial recognition program to speed my way through the checkout. That's all run by Palantir, you know, or Cerebras Capital, another company that Epstein was involved with, who have been getting a bigger footprint in Australia. They bought out Westpac's car loans, everyone. If you had a car loan with Westpac, that's who you were dealing with now. And they were over here last year looking at buying out the Port of Darwin, complete with the Chinese lease. Because using power and influence to broker deals that affect government policy is what these people in a capitalist market framework are supposed to do. It's not a crime. The crime is when you go sticking your dick into someone who wasn't old enough. Sorry, but that's what, and it is a crime, and it's abhorrent. But the fact that we can be so, so indignant about that and not indignant about the fact, look at this Prince Andrew prick. All right, he was carried out of his house, 66-year-old man last night without a title, all right? They're talking to him about, you know, it's come out, it's not just about sexual crimes. It's about selling state secrets, passing on state secrets to Jeffrey Epstein.
And the evidence was already there prior to this latest release to go through the process of fucking these fellas, people being...
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they do.
It was already there.
There was already there. But even still, they're not just upset with his rape of minors. They're upset with him passing state secrets, trade secrets, to Epstein. Now, they're not upset that he or Epstein, in full legality, no crime whatsoever, divvying up the natural resources of a war-torn country that their Prime Minister, Tony Blair, was heavily involved in destroying, that they're divvying up their natural resources there, gold and other rare earths, I think uranium too. That's okay. That's what we're meant to do. That's what being a trade attaché means.
That's your job description.
And the fact that this is going to result in thousands of people dying, millions of people already died for this, that doesn't even raise a flippin' mention. So as heinous as whatever Prince Andrew did was, and I'm not suggesting there's any doubt that he did it, I just don't know to what extent and how many minors were involved and women were involved, as heinous as it all was, isn't this just at least just as heinous, selling out the resources of a whole nation, people of whom are now starving, people these Epsteins and Andrews and all the rest of it contacts, after the US left, took all the gold out of the Federal Reserves of Afghanistan and fled the country, supported by the United States and the United Kingdom. No doubt Epstein was involved in there somewhere. Isn't that reason to put the prick in front of a firing squad?
Yep.
Enough.
Enough. No, but I mean, this is a thing. We need to talk about these things as hard as it is, you know.
Yeah.
as hard as it is, and I think that that impunity is the thing of why it's so dangerous, the clickbait nature of the revelations that are coming out of the Epstein files now, as if one, it was a surprise and it wasn't already known, and two, it's just like filling the whole media landscape and space with this information with no, like, it's like an overwhelm that incapacitates action to actually hold these pricks accountable.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess, the such a danger of it in going, okay, Andrew, he's been dragged out of his house and arrested now. One for
he's been let back in.
Ah.
Yeah.
But and for these crimes, but it's like, okay, here's a fall guy, you know. He'd already been stripped of any titles, he's been stripped of anything that he had. He's already kind of done. I'm not saying that.
Not whether we should feel sorry for him.
No, and anything else that happens to him from here on in, he deserves that and more.
Yeah. But it was the Queen and Charles who were paying for it all to be kept quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they can say now, justice must be seen to be done, as Chuck the Turd said, and run its course. But they were paying. The British Crown was paying to suppress the information of Andrew's rape charges, rape allegations.
Mm. And that that is done now, seeing it's like that it's another marker of impunity that the rest of these pricks that are in there or attached or in these circles, you know, they're for accountability to be served. It's another marker of impunity, which is in part of how much we've seen the operations of power act with impunity, and it has, but it's just been magnified over the last few years, and you know, everything getting thrown or made a spectacle of, or that actually removes any power and capacity.
It's the spectacle again.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think we might move on. I think I need to move on.
Yeah, I think I need to. I think the world should move on. I think we should move on from all these rich fucks in medieval cosplay strutting around Buckingham Palace and all the rest of it. Anyway, how about a 4 second?
Yeah. You could probably hear us going on the microphones, but it is pretty hard to jump to other news.
Other news, what's happening down in Adelaide, mate?
Oh, well, some of you might have heard that Albanese is, the Albanese's announced that there's going to be $30 billion put into building a big shed.
A big shed?
Yep.
Is it out the back of the lodge?
Oh, no, he's just going to put it down at Osborne Shipyards. And maybe, you know, it'll probably stay empty for the next 3 decades as we're never actually going to get the submarines. So that's
How big a shed is it?
Well, they use really interesting.
How is that for a Dorothy Dixer?
It's 2.5 Adelaide ovals long and uses the same amount of steel as 17 Eiffel Towers.
Oh, that explains it to me. 17 Eiffel Towers. Now I know exactly how much steel they need.
Yeah, one of them's going to be used for the Hills Hoist as
Of course. Got to have a Hills Hoist out the back of the shed, mate.
Oh, you do indeed. But no, that's $30 billion. So the down payment of $3.9 billion as part of the Osborne Shipyard. Decking out the Osborne Shipyard to build the nuclear-powered submarines that we're never going to get as part of AUKUS.
Yep.
And over the life of the project, so is going to cost $30 billion, which we can probably expect to blow out because...
It's going to be at least 60. If the military says 30, it's going to be at least 60.
Yeah, and so this is the upgrade, or the building, rather, of the Osborne Shipyards. For the project is going to be complete in 2040. So we've got 14 years of construction. It's going to be completely, it's going to completely mirror the shipyards in the UK.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
That'd be handy because then we can bring the UK service people and the US service people over to build it for us and build the ships for us.
Yeah, exactly. And because, you know, it's being celebrated and that Albanese is saying over the life of the project, it's going to create, or the life of construction, design and construction is going to create 10,000
jobs. 10,000
jobs. 10,000 jobs over the course of 14 years. Now, that's going to, and in the press conference, they say it's going to take in two parts, 4,000 and 5,500 workers. So that's not job creation. We're talking about workers. So if it's going to mimic the UK, or mirror rather, the UK, this is jobs including in...
I'll tell you what it includes.
There you go.
It includes the four people who were already paid to sit down and write that abysmal bloody press release for a start.
That's exactly right. And it's going to, those costs are maybe, there's going to be extra costs associated with bringing people from the UK and the US as consultants to the design and the build, and they're all going to go in hotels in Adelaide. And then, I just was thinking on this thing of, you know, 10,000, it seems like a big number. They talk about jobs as workers, they're two different things, just as 126,000 tons of steel is 17 Eiffel Towers, you know. There's but it just kind of did make me think about actual job data and job statistics.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the last year alone, so this is a 14-year project that's going to create 10,000 jobs, apparently, right. So they say. But in the last year alone, job increase in Australia across all industries is increased 150,000 in a year. So when you kind of balance out $30 billion and associated cost blowouts with the numbers, they seem really big in an announcement, but actually, like, they're a pittance in reality of what they that means.
Well, I actually question your use of the term reality.
Oh, yeah. Well, so do I often.
Because I don't reckon that 150,000 figure is quite real either.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
You know, you've got, for
according
example,
to their own figures, perhaps.
Yeah, according to their own figures. You've got, for example, an Uber driver who works for Uber and also works for Didi. Now, that means he's got two jobs or she's got two jobs. And maybe they also deliver for Deliveroo or whoever, Hungry Panda or whoever it is now. So you've got that one person who's probably making less than minimal wage – probably accounts for three jobs. So when you hear these figures of 10,000, you know,
that's all bullshit.
I was going to say he just pulled him out of his ass, but he didn't. He probably pulled him out with his bloody belly button fluff.
Yeah. Well, there was just quickly before we wrap up, because the good folks at Slacker Radio are probably going to be coming in the studio pretty soon. But just one of the quotes that Albanese has said in relation to this build in South Australia and the investment in jobs is, this is a quote: if you're a 15 or 16 year old thinking about what am I going to do with my life, you can be assured that there will be a well-paid, secure jobs here in Adelaide, and you'll get that satisfaction of seeing what you are creating as a product of your labour and knowing that it is very much your contribution as well to our national interests for decades ahead. Yeah.
So that harkens back to Scott Morrison's talk in 2022 about growing the type of people you need to work in the defence industry.
That's right. So two sides of the same coin, as we always say. The good folks at Slacker Radio.
Scott Albanese.
You're tuned to Community Radio 3CR. You can still subscribe. So jump online to 3cr.org.au to show your support for the station. And we will be back with you next week.
All right, talk to you then.